The reading comes from Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. And on this Pew Bible, it's page 559. The darkness turns to light. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. For the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome along to church. Can I start off by saying Merry Christmas? It's great to see you here. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. And can I especially welcome you if you're joining us for Christmas? If this is your first time, you've only started coming recently, it's great to have you along. And can I also encourage you to keep coming back in the new year? We'd love to see you then as well here at church. Now, I wonder what you actually came up with in the discussion question. What's the best news you've had this year? Maybe it's a disease that has finally gone away, an operation that has been successful. Maybe it's getting a promotion at work, your kids getting into a particular school, your kids getting a prize. What's the best news you've had this year? And I ask that because Christmas is all about good news. Christmas is great news, especially when times are bad, especially when you feel that you're in the darkness. The passage that was read out for us comes from Isaiah chapter 9. It's part of the Bible that was written 700 years before the first Christmas, before Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, before the shepherds and angels were out there in the field, before the wise men came anywhere near baby Jesus. Now, even though it's written 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah 9 is actually all about Christmas. It is good news in dark times. That's the background of the people who are actually reading this for the very first time. They are people who are in the darkness. If you've got your Bibles open in front of you, that'd be great, but otherwise just listen in. Sometimes it's going to be there on the screen behind me. But let me take a look at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The people are in darkness. They are in trouble. There is this shadow that's always hanging over their heads. You see, the two countries are right above them on the map. The two countries just to the north of them have declared war on these people. And so the people are terrified. If you can imagine for a moment, it's like living in southern Lebanon, where there's been fighting going on. And it's not just Israel that's been attacking them. Now Syria joins in, and they start firing missiles as well. Of course, if you're there, you would be terrified. You are living in the shadows of death. There is darkness all around you. The people Isaiah is writing to, they are walking in darkness. Now, that can be a little bit hard for us to imagine. You know, here in peaceful Australia, the idea of war just seems like a world away. But we know what it means to live in darkness. As Mitch said, we have a mixed bag when it comes to life, living in the here and now. It doesn't have to be war. We know what it means to have broken relationships, the death of a loved one, someone that we know who is struggling. Maybe you are struggling. The Bible also talks about another kind of darkness. It's when we turn our backs on God. And the problem is, this is a darkness that is all of us. I was reading an article the other day about a mum who was having her whole family come over for Christmas dinner or Christmas lunch. And in this article, it was talking about how she's going to charge them $50 per adult to have the food. Now, in some ways, it doesn't sound as bad as it might because it's actually 3 days' worth of food. So it's not as huge as it might first sound, but there was a mixed reaction to this idea. Now, I don't know what you think about that idea of charging people for food as they come over. Maybe it's putting some thoughts in your head in terms of, oh, okay, Christmas dinner's coming up. But I want you to imagine that you are the one who's throwing a Christmas party. And this is the best Christmas party ever. The food is fantastic. There's prawns, there's steak, Christmas stuffing. The entertainment is great. You've got the decorations up. And you decide that you're going to pay for everything. Now, when it comes to the party itself, there's a guest who comes along who doesn't even say hi as they come in through the doors. Actually, it's pretty clear that they are ignoring you. They don't care whether you exist or not. They eat the food, they drink the wine, they grab everything that they can. And they start acting as if your place is theirs. The things that you treat special, they just throw them around. The rules that you have in place that are sensible rules, they just go ahead and break them all. Now, what would you do if you had a guest like that? I suspect that you would either kick him out or never invite them again. I don't know if that's happened to you before, but that's what we do to God. We ignore God. We hardly give him the time of day. We don't listen to him. We break his rules. We love the things that he gives us. Our work, our family, our lives. We love the gifts, but we don't love the giver. And just like in that made-up story, we deserve to be kicked out. Turning our backs on God, there's judgment. When I talked about darkness, that's the darkness that everyone is in by our natural state. And that's why Christmas is good news. Because did you see in Isaiah chapter 9, for the people walking in darkness, like us, there is a great light. It's like if there's a tornado going around, the clouds have gathered and it becomes pitch black. And then all of a sudden, the sun shines through. We can see again and there's hope. That's what it says in verse 2. For those walking in darkness, there is a great light. But the strange thing is, as we jump down from verse 2 to verse 6, the light that shines in the midst of darkness is a baby. That's the light. Let me read verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. This little child is the light that God is talking about. Now, there are some babies who are born, and when they're born, they have these great expectations attached to them. And so we've got Beyonce and Jay-Z. They have three children. They are two famous singers. Now, surely one of their children is going to be able to sing, right? Surely if you've got famous parents who can sing that well. Mitch Stark and Alyssa Healy, if you didn't realize that they're actually married, two of Australia's best cricketers. Now, if they have a child, surely we can finally get an opening batsman for Australia. Prince George, he's 11 years old. He's second in line to the throne. babies with big expectations attached. That's nothing compared to the baby here in Isaiah 9. This baby is going to rule forever in verse 7. And he brings peace and justice and righteousness, things that we need. Now jump forward 700 years and we know who this baby is. This is Jesus. But these words are written here in Isaiah to be a roadmap to show us who Jesus is. God doesn't want us to be in any doubt that when Jesus comes, that we actually do understand what his identity is, that we know what his mission is. Now, I used to work in one of the big four banks. When I first came out of university, I was in one of the graduate programs. I remember getting my very first business card. It was a new area in the bank at the time, and so we basically got to choose what we had on our business card. And my manager said, yeah, put whatever you want. And so on my business card, I had Albie Lamb, Fraud Intelligence Analyst. And I thought that sounded pretty cool. It's kind of like the FBI of the bank. Now, that was my title. It sort of described what I was supposed to be on about there at the bank. Do you see the titles here of Jesus? What is written on his business card? There are four things. And they describe who he is. If you see there in verse 6, he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's title 1, title 2. He's got the wisdom of God, the power of God. He's a counselor. He's wise. He's mighty God. He's powerful. That's a pretty impressive start. Title number 3, Everlasting Father. Which for Isaiah, who's writing this, that would have been completely confusing. How can this child who's going to be born be the everlasting father? Those two ideas just don't make sense. They're two completely different things until Jesus comes. Because all of a sudden, you have God become one of us in his son, in this baby Jesus. If you haven't read the life of Jesus in a while, can I encourage you to read it again? Maybe you've never read it before. We've got a bunch of, it's a little booklet called Essential Jesus. It's right there at the back of church. It'll be on your left as you walk down the aisle. It's a little book. It's a little bit old, so some of the pages are turning yellow. So we want to get rid of these books. So grab one of them on your way out. It's a copy of Luke's Gospel, one of the biographies about Jesus. Grab one of those. See who Jesus is. Read that for yourself. The power and wisdom of God in a baby, everlasting father. And then title number 4, he's the Prince of Peace. The peace that we need the most is not the peace from the busyness of life or peace from the crowds in Chatswood. It's not even peace in the Middle East. The peace we need the most is peace with God. Remember how I said that we're in darkness by ourselves. If we don't have Jesus between us and God, there is no peace. We've done the wrong thing. There is only judgment. Jesus came to bring peace. And he does that by dying for us. You see, actually, if we go forward a number of chapters from the passage that we read up, there's another part of Isaiah, chapter 53, and it describes what Jesus is going to do. Let me read this out. Now, there's some tricky words there. In verse 5, transgressions and iniquities. They're basically the things that we do wrong, things that mean that God should punish us, that God should judge us. That's transgressions and iniquities. Verse 5, talking about Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, he gets killed for us. He takes our place. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Do you see what it says? Jesus dies to save us. I don't know if you've been following the news about Joe Biden's son. He's got a son by the name of Hunter Biden. Now, Hunter Biden pleaded guilty to 9 federal tax charges, and he was convicted of 3 federal gun charges. He was facing up to 25 years in prison. But then, at the start of this month, Joe Biden, who happened to be president, pardoned him from all federal offences. And it wasn't just the federal offences that I mentioned then, but it also includes any potential offences that haven't yet been discovered. All of a sudden, all of that punishment, bang, it's gone. Now I wonder if, in order to make that happen, if Joe Biden had to take his son's place, I wonder if he would have done that. Would he have been willing to go to prison for up to 25 years for his son? I don't know. Maybe he would have, because that's what parental love kind of looks like. Now, we would never know with Joe Biden, but that is what God does for us. We deserve to face his punishment. We deserve that. But Jesus steps in and takes it for us, so that our punishment that we deserve, it's gone. And instead, we have a relationship with God. We have forgiveness. We have everlasting peace. Do you see why Christmas is incredible news? It's about a God who sees us living in darkness, living in our darkness, the things that we do wrong, and he doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just ignore us. He loves us. And he sends his son into the world as a baby to be born at Christmas. Now, don't let the manger fool you. Don't get distracted by the stable, the animals, those cute little pictures of Jesus on a Christmas card. He has the wisdom of God and the power of God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And he comes to bring peace by dying for us on a cross, for you and for me. Christmas is incredible news. Now, I started off by asking a question. Let me finish by asking a different question. What is the best present you've ever been given for Christmas? What is the best present you've ever been given for Christmas? Maybe it happened this morning. Now, I've actually got a chart that I wasn't sure whether to show it or not, because it's a little bit late to react to this. I've got a chart here. I don't know how well you can see it at the back. Apparently, these are the gifts that people most want in the US. So if you haven't got a present yet, you can still factor that in, but otherwise too late. I thought it was interesting that number one, what people want the most is money. They're not too caught up whether it's cash or a transfer. Either is acceptable. Men and women, it's quite interesting for number 2 and 3. They're kind of the same thing. But I thought it was also interesting when you get to point number 4. And when you get to point 4, women would like cosmetics, perfume, body care to either look good, smell good, or feel good. Men just want to eat. It's food or drink. That's kind of men number 4. That's the best gift that people actually want when they did a survey. Let me just get that onto the next slide so we don't get too distracted by that. That's God's gift to us. It's not wrapped in wrapping paper. It's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He gave his own son to bring us into a relationship with him and to give us peace. Now, here's the thing with presents, though. With presents, the secret is you actually have to take them. You need to accept the present. Otherwise, it does you no good. And you do that when it comes to this gift by putting your trust in Jesus, realizing that this baby, he is the Son of God, and he died for me. I need to take that seriously, not just on Christmas, but every day. It matters. And if you've already done that, if you already follow Jesus, here's what it means for us. In the business of life that wants to pull us into every direction, in the darkness that can sometimes feel so overwhelming, see the gift that God gives us. Because different gifts will tell you different things. You know, if your friends give you a gift of deodorant, that is probably telling you something. Somebody that we know said, what should we give to their mum? That they said, a diary, because she keeps forgetting dates. This gift shouts to us, God loves us. And he loves us incredibly. To us, a son is given. What better news is there? What bigger gift can you get than God's son given to us? Make sure you grab it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an incredibly loving God. We thank you for these words that we read 700 years before Jesus came to the world to show us who he is and what he came to do. Thank you for Jesus who was born on Christmas, that we get to celebrate and remember that you sent your son into the world to be born as a baby, to be born as one of us in order to save us and to bring us peace with you. We pray, Lord, that this gift just blows us away. Help us to see this gift for what it is. And we pray, Lord, that we might respond in the right way, to grab hold of it with both hands and to give you thanks and praise this Christmas morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.